Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Thank you for your generous support. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president of radio operations at Lakeshore Public Radio. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com or through our Facebook page. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. And we'd like to welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight, Porter County Public Library Systems Director Jesse Butts. And he's going to talk about programs that we've got going on here. We're going to be hearing this in March. So, Jesse, welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
I appreciate you having me.
So we're so excited about so many things that the Porter County Library System is doing. It's a large system. I mean, you cover 11 counties and 12 townships, I think. And so you have a lot going on. So if you can kind of just touch on some of the resources that the library has available. And then the most exciting part is the garden that has just recently, has it opened?
Yeah, it hasn't officially opened yet here. We're hoping to have a ribbon cutting this springtime. We pushed that back a little bit to make sure we were in a safe spot with COVID levels throughout the county here. We have five branches spread throughout all Porter County in Portage, South Haven, Couts, Hebron, and our Valparaiso branch. We serve throughout the entire county. We've actually been open all the way since May 4th. We opened our doors back up and so people can come in and browse. They can pick things up through curbside delivery service. You can schedule it on our website or call and stop in for it. We still offer our computer access. You can print and notary services, all the good stuff that you come to expect and full browsing in our building as well. But what we've done since the beginning is transitioned a lot, like many have, to our online resources. And so just in the last year, we added over 1 million electronic items that you can check out from the comfort of your home, ranging from movies and TV shows that you can stream on your television set, to books, audiobooks, magazines, videos that you can get on a tablet or e-reading device. We've added things like self-education that you can do from home, taking classes from the adult level, to covering things from cooking. We even have live yoga classes that you can do online through one of our programs that we offer. We've really tried to target and hit in on senior citizens, making sure that we're offering resources for them, families, supporting them, especially with these e-learning difficulties that they're facing. So we have a lot of resources. My favorite is one called BrainFuse. And BrainFuse is actually live tutoring. I believe it's from 2 o'clock to 11 o'clock every night from the comfort of your home. And it covers subjects all the way from kindergarten through college. So you can actually get live one-on-one help with an expert in that topic who can help you out. And that is a huge deal. As a parent, I can tell you, to be able to get a little help with math at the eighth grade level, which I don't remember so well at this point, is a huge deal for us. In addition, in there, there's flashcard assistance. There's all sorts of different test preps that you can take. It's a big deal for helping our remote students. And so we offer a lot of those types of programs on our website, and that's at pcpls.org. And if you get to us, there's just gobs of resources. Like I said, over a million that we've added in addition to our physical stuff. We've also converted a lot of our programming to digital programming as well. And so we offer digital story times that are geared towards that probably 7 and under category. And we pair those up with a make and take craft that you can actually go to a branch and pick it up and take it home and be able to work on it in the comfort of your home with your family, along with the story time video that goes with it. So we have a lot of exciting programming for that. We also release it on our Facebook page. If you find us on Facebook, we'd like to have a lot of interactive content on there, which is fun. But you did mention our library garden, and our library garden has been my baby for the last couple of years. It was actually constructed with a lot of community partners, the City of Valparaiso, Valparaiso Redevelopment Commission, Valparaiso Rotary Club, and OCRA, a government organization here with the state, gave us a $500,000 grant to help construct this. And so we began the design process a couple of years ago. It finished construction here in December. And so it's just a wonderful new space and a new way to experience the library that most people haven't had a chance to do so. And so when you come into this, and it's the Rotary Library Garden is its official name, you'll walk in the doors and there's going to be a story trail where you can do a self-guided storybook tour throughout the garden. There's little spaces to sit and relax and enjoy nature. There's reading nooks in the back corners where you can sit and have your own book club if you so desire, or just meet with a family and friends in there. One of the most interesting features are we have art spread throughout. And so we have some famous artists that have come in and put sculptures in. One of our favorites is Booger Bear and Stinkerfish, which are kind of fun for the children. And then we also have a fog walk where you come in, a child can depress a button, and a cool mist will come soaking up out of the ground to surround the pathway. There's a pavilion. We'll have concerts and story times in the area. There's open areas where you can run and relax and play. It's just going to be a new way to experience the library and kind of meld the outdoor and the indoor into one little learning and engaging experience.
So Jesse, are there still opportunities for people to contribute to the garden?
There are. Yep. If you go onto our website, pcpls.org, we have a library information section where you can head on there, and there are opportunities to donate. They're running out, so if you're interested, definitely give us a call.
Well, we'd like to thank you for being on Art in the Air Spotlight, Jesse. That's Jesse Butts from the Porter County Library System. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And we're pleased to welcome to Art on the Air this time Dr. Bradley Willard. He's an expert in the field of breath and voice. He's a founder of the Unlock Your Breath, the Voice Empowerment Breathwork. He's dedicated over 25 years to understanding the function of breath, its coordination with voice and body, and his research methods about that quality of one's voice, reflection of the coordination. Bradley, welcome to Art in the Air, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's really wonderful to be with you all today.
Well, aloha. It's good to see you.
Well, we always like to start off our interviews kind of like your life journey, like where you grew up, where you went to school, kind of like how you got from where you were to where you are now before we get into your actual current work.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. As you can probably hear from my accent, it will come out from time to time. And yeah, my journey with voice began, I would say fairly early. My first solo was age 5. It was I'm So Special. And that solo was given to me out of a project that I had worked on with my preschool teacher because I had a speech impediment. Consonants were very hard for me. So we did a lot of consonant vowel work and really learning how to not only have it in the formation of the mouth, but I can even sense as I sort of touch into that, all this, there was a body connection even at that point, trying to get me to be in the body. And so the final project was that I would sing a solo at the end of that term or end of that year in front of everyone. And I remember the anxiety of that as well. So it's very interesting that the work I do at this point is also teaching people how to be in the body with the voice, because that's been my journey and jumping through many hurdles, many hoops, and especially with the breath too, of how the breath leads us being into the body. I think I mentioned before we went on air of being born 2 months premature, having a right lung collapse as I came out, having to be submersed underwater to get that lung to find its function. So for me, with how I look at the breath in the body, the voice is simply just a mirror of that relationship. And it lets us know how that human being is in relationship with themselves. And so I then progressed through all the education as we do. And at age 15, I decided I wanted to study private voice. And I went down that journey and found myself at the North Carolina School of the Arts for undergrad, doing my master's at Manhattan School of Music. And then found myself out in the opera world, doing different apprenticeships, singing regionally, and then started a doctorate. And that was its own jumping through hoops. As you well know. And that, I think, even though I studied voice that long, no one ever really taught me what the relationship was.
Right, the intimate connection between the breath and the voice, and yeah.
Absolutely, and because in the industry, you're using it as a tool, as a product. So we are often using technique to learn how the mechanism works, how the breath works. But it's so much more than that. It really is a sacred relationship. And so when we drop into that, and especially after finishing the qualifying exams of my doctorate, I think I was so out of the body from the trauma of going through coursework and getting through those exams, that I really was looking for an escape. So I went to Germany and said, well, I think I'll start an operatic career there. I'll look for management. But I found myself with a breath worker, and he worked with singers. And so I worked with him. And for the first time, I could really feel the breath drop into my lower pelvic floor. After that long of studying, using the breath, but I actually felt it drop in to a place of me that really took me back to childhood. It took me into some very eternal relationships, and I wanted to know what that was, because my degrees, my being in the professional world, had not taught me the real meaning behind the breath.
Well, it's from your beginnings, and breathing is about expansion, but coming out with a collapsed lung, so that expansion must be a big deal for you, because because that trauma, that childhood trauma sits there, you know.
Absolutely.
Consciously or unconsciously. And so that must have been quite a moment when you could actually really feel it throughout your body.
I think when I work with clients now, I always say, because for me, this was my experience. I started seeing where I was not in my body all of a sudden, which was everywhere. So I went back to Kentucky. I had a partner there at the time of 4 years. I left that relationship. I sold everything I had, and I moved to Berlin and started training at the Mittendorf Institute. Ilse Mittendorf was the mother of somatic breathing. And I studied the breathing coordination, the principles of breathing coordination by Carl Stahl. And so I was diving into different methods, trying to figure out what is this breath and body relationship? And how have we missed the point in the area of voice? And it really is that the voice is simply our mirror, if we look at it that way. That's all it is a mirror. And the qualities that live in one's breath can also be the qualities that live in one's voice. That does show us the qualities that they're having in their life.
Yeah, so sometimes we need to change the narrative, I guess, to get to that expansive breath point.
Absolutely. And because our beliefs and our concepts and our identity structure, it lives in the body. So when the breath has taken on that tension that we often hold with those beliefs and concepts or identity, then the voice takes also that tension. It brings that into the outer relationship. But the wonderful thing about the breath is it can show us the truer parts of our nature. So we can transcend some of those tensions if we dive into the awareness to a deeper level and say, wow, what does my breath really want in this moment? What does my body really want in this moment? And what's keeping me from that? Then we start to do the real work of saying, okay, what is this truer nature of the breath that wants to teach the parts of me that I'm willing to let go of right now, or that I'm willing to die to that maybe are not true?
The question I'd like to ask is about, you have, I'm looking at your website, three major obstacles that block you from discovering your authentic voice. So what are those and how do you explore those?
Well, so this is a great point to go into the research. And you'll find the research on willyardmethod.com. And that research really shows that the three pillars of the voice are relationship with self, self-confidence, and vulnerability. So out of 29 study participants and three faculty members at the North Carolina School of the Arts, where I did the scientific research, it wasn't about them finding the vocal technique that made their voice free, or the breath that worked so well that all of a sudden things were flawless. It was really about, can I create a relationship with myself? And if I have that, is there a moment of vulnerability that rises up from within me, from within the heart space? And can I be confident enough in myself in this moment to sing or speak whatever needs to be in this moment? And so it showed that those students really didn't understand a relationship with self, but they're craving it. You know, part of my work was looking at how we're not in one-on-one relationships anymore. We're more in our technology than in our phones. And when we come into a relationship with each other, that face-to-face human relationship, and I'm sitting with your breath and you're sitting with my breath, that we have an opportunity to expand and to be in each other's outer breath. And that was one of the great things about COVID, was that all of a sudden we were all in an awareness that we have 6 feet of outer breathing space. You know, for me, I was so excited because I was like, oh, you know, now the humanity is starting to realize we have an outer breathing space. And that outer breathing space has a direct relationship with safety. It has a relationship with how close I'm walking to you in a grocery store now. And that, combined with how that outer breathing space is making my inner breathing space, am I feeling anxiety in this moment because I'm walking through a grocery store and someone just came 3 feet away from me?
Without
a mask. This is... You know, I look at the research and I'm like, oh, this was sort of showing a little before we got there. And so a lot of what, now that I can look back at the data, I'm like, I was sort of seeing ahead through the study participants of where we were moving in awareness. And so that was exciting for me. And it was also my own journey of my own leaving that partner, selling everything I had, that it was my own moment of those three pillars of the voice rising up within me. Can I just be in this moment with my vulnerability and in my heartbreak? You know, can I start to feel safe to create a relationship with the self.
What are some of the breathing mistakes that people commonly make, when they're trying to, things that you then know, can identify to correct, but what are some of the common ones that people are doing?
Well, for singers, a lot of the idea is that I need to inhale and then keep the ribs out or keep, because we sing on compression. So I often find that the ribs get stuck on the inhale. So that's actually a holding of a setting up of the voice that happens on the top of the inhale, rather than having it go right into an inhale and then over into an exhale. I often say that in singing and in life, we've made this duality of inhale, exhale, but it's really just one breath. And so can we let that one breath come and go and then not go back into the habitual pattern of having to breathe back in? Can we just wait after we let it go? So you'll also find that people at the end of the exhale feel like they need to breathe. You're going to breathe. Just let it go and see if it comes back. It may not come back. Can that be okay if it doesn't come back? So that's where we get into dying. If I'm in this moment with this one breath and I let it go, am I okay that it doesn't come back? Can that be okay? Can I be safe to hold every emotion, hold the whole moment? And then when the breath rushes back in, that moment of excitement that, wow, I have, again, this one breath.
And we spoke about emptying the breath. I mean, really exhaling it. Yeah. It's very, the breath is such a dynamic.
It is. And, you know, I find that we often have our attention on the inhale rather than the exhale. And so being able to just let the awareness be on letting go and just know that the inhale is going to naturally happen. Now, for me, that's one of my biggest things is saying, keep that attention on the letting go, on the exhale. Don't worry about the inhale.
Someone comes to you for coaching and advice. Take us through a little bit of that. Let's just, for example, take a singer, so because you're familiar with that. What's that process work like?
Well, I always have to be upfront and honest and say, you know, this is going to be fun, but we may get into some real work. Some deep diving. And I find that most people want to move to the voice first. So for me, the first 2 months are really creating a relationship with the breath, the inner, the outer breath, the upper, the middle, the lower, really looking at when we take the breath apart in that way, what are these different parts of us that are connected with it? And then we start going into the body. And we work on a chair, doing movement, slow micro movements, syncing the breath with each movement, maybe just moving the toes out slowly and working with the feet and creating relationships with every part, looking at the function and the structure of each part, the knee, the hip, moving all the way up to the thoracic cavity, looking at each rib and each relationship with all those intercostal muscles and all of the parts of us. But we're also looking at not only the function and the structure, but we're looking at the emotion of all of those parts too. So we really are diving in to take the functional anatomy apart and the emotional parts of us and saying, this is almost like a reset. Can we do a reset? And then once we've done that reset on the breath and body, we then start to add the voice in. So we look at vowels. What is your relationship with a vowel? You know, it goes back to my being 5 years old. And can I just inhale and exhale on an ah or on an e, having the tongue and the jaw in that position? And, you know, I'm always brought back to Ilse Mittendorf, who did a lot of vowel work, and she, my mentor, that's there, Frau Lampa. When I asked Hiltrud about the vowels. She said that Ilse worked with those vowels, just breathing, inhaling, and exhaling for 10 years before she added sound. And I said, well, why? She said, because Ilse had said that the vowels had not told her that they were time, that they were ready to sound. So that really is the type of work that I'm interested in. That type of slow process, building a relationship with every aspect of us, moving into the consonants, moving into numbers, into alphabet. And so we do add the voice back in, and I do work on the table as well once we get to that part, and seeing where the student or the client is in wanting to lock up the mechanism, wanting to lock up the body. So there's a lot of stuff that releases through that process.
I guess you have to have a desire to recreate your views and your habits and the way you do things.
You do.
To allow that to happen.
And there has to be a desire for what is awareness. Mm-hmm. Because that's the tool that we're using to move through all this. And there has to be a desire for safety and a comfortability with touch, with oneself, being able to really come into that deeper relationship with all the parts, the physical body, and the emotional body.
Can I take us back to like 5 years old for a second?
Absolutely.
So as you were doing the work in Germany, and you said you were brought back to that child, you know, the 5-year-old, but also the birth with the collapsed lung. So where does, and this is like another branch. So I grew up with hearing children should be seen and not heard. Does that play into some of the issues that maybe you see in your work? I mean, is that, I don't know if that's still a prevalent thing that children hear now.
I can't tell you how many people that I have worked on that has brought that particular line, especially entrepreneurs that I've worked with, and older clients that are really mid-40s and up. I think that was a much more common phrase used. And that really lives in the body. But, you know, even when I go back to the data, you know, when one of the questions looked at career potential, because this specifically goes to this, I think. And I did a measure of 1 to 10, and 58.5% of those students only believed they had career potential. They're in a voice program, and only 58.5% checked 8 or above.
Well, that could be like somebody told them, oh, it was just maybe one person even that said they didn't have a chance or they didn't sound right.
Yes, but there's that desire to be heard. Yeah. That's their desire. They're in a voice program, I think, because they want to be heard, and maybe they were told they were not going to be heard or they couldn't be heard. But, you know, after they came into relationship with the body, after a week-long period of going through the method, that went from 58.5 to 86.2%.
Wow.
That's, all of a sudden we have 86.2% checking 8 and above that they might be able to have a career.
They can visualize it now.
They can visualize it because they're able to start to see themselves being heard. You know, so that's why I'm always trying to go back to the scientific data, because it shows us these beliefs. It shows how they link into career, how they link into relationships. You know, that's a huge increase just from building a relationship.
It's true. We need those visuals. Like you had mentioned, the COVID 6 feet. You know, now we can actually visualize that, and it informs our steps.
It does. It does. And it informs our awareness. You know, that's really what we're building here is this, and it's vast. I love this work because it's limitless. It reminds me every day that I just know so little, and to sit with people. And I mean, I always say I'm no expert here. There's no, I mean, I may have a degree and have research, but I'm no expert, because the only expert is the breath.
One real thing with COVID, we touched on a little bit, but tell us how that impacted you, your work, and you personally.
For me, it was a really deep, and still is a very deep, deep time. I have gone deeper into my relationship with the breath and looking at, you know, I think because racism was also up around COVID, looking at my relationship with entitlement. I had some amazing Black mentors in my life. Part of my singing career was doing two world tours with the American Spiritual Ensemble. I think there was maybe one or two of us that were white in that ensemble, full of amazing Black opera singers. So that was some of this work that was happening during COVID. And the breath really teaches that it teaches oneness. The breath transcends race. It transcends gender. It transcends sexuality. My own journey with sexuality, I'm a gay man with a beautiful husband, but that was part of my journey. And I think that was one of the healing components of coming back into relationship with the breath. I think my voice is much stronger and grounded into who I am. So some of that during this time was really, because we had space, we had more time to go inward, to really look at these relationships. And with where we were as a world, where we were as a country, and all of those dynamics, it was and still is a very potent time for me to see what is my relationship with my heart and love, and where am I getting in the way?
I think that answered it, and I know we have to wrap up here. Real quickly, how can people get in touch with you, Bradley?
Well, they can find me on, I call it the Insta. They can find me on the Insta or Instagram at Dr. Bradley Williard, W-I-L-L-I-A-R-D. They can find me on Facebook at Dr. Bradley Williard, and they can go to williardmethod.com. And they can find the research there, and they can find my email to just send me a quick email from that platform as well. And yeah, that's just reach out. If you have any questions around the breath or the body or the voice, reach out. I'm always here to really be of service.
Well, we'd like to thank Dr. Bradley Willard, the expert in breath and voice we've had on Art in the Air. You can contact him. You will also have a link on our website. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and your background on Art in the Air.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes. Hopefully many more to come.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air from the Half Hour Audio Podcast, Andrew J. Pond. He moved to Chicago from South Florida in 2002, where he'd studied with the likes of Burke Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, and many, many others. Oh, Charles Nelson Reilly, too.
Charles
That's great.
Nelson Reilly.
He taught and directed the Interact Summer Camp at the Miami Shores Theater Summer Camp and so on. And since moving to Chicago, he's done many, many other things here. We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air. And Andrew, how are you doing? And welcome to Art in the Air.
Hello, it's great to be here. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, Andrew, we usually like to start off with like your personal history, and though I just touched on a little bit, like where you went to school, where you grew up and everything. And basically what I like to say is how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us about yourself.
I'm originally from just outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a small suburb called West Allis, Wisconsin, well known for two things, Olympic speed skater Dan Jansen and Jeffrey Dahmer.
it's like us with Belle Gunness, huh?
Yeah, we try to downplay that second part. I grew up there, went to high school there, went to college at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, did not get a theater degree, which was, I'm sure, surprising to most people who knew me. instead got a philosophy degree, which I like to describe as the only degree less useful than a theater degree. It was fun while it lasted. The interesting thing is I didn't get into theater until I was about a sophomore in high school. Before that, my plan was I was going to be a concert cellist. That was basically my thing. So I did my first play my sophomore year of high school and realized that was a heck of a lot more fun than playing the cello, and decided that I was going to do that. So I went to college, did a lot of community theater in my hometown, and then when I graduated from college, I went and did an apprenticeship program at the Flat Rock Playhouse in Flat Rock, North Carolina, which when I went there in 1990, 1994, when I graduated from college, they had just boasted they got themselves a Taco Bell. So that and the grocery store were the only things open after 8 p.m. So that was fun. But I did a summer there as an apprentice, you know, summer stock. It was amazing. Got a small part in like my first Equity production there. So I did my first Equity rehearsal there and realized people drink a lot of coffee during those.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I kept wondering why we kept stopping every hour and a half to take a break. I was like, what? Come on. And there I met the artistic director for the, I'm not making this up, Burt Reynolds Institute for Theater Training, mm-hmm. which was located in Tequesta, Florida. I auditioned for that program, got accepted there, and then I went down to South Florida and spent 9 months basically as part of their resident apprentice company, and lived, breathed, ate, drank, slept theater for 9 months. We put on 6 productions during the year. We were on an 8-show-a-week schedule. We did children's theater. We directed. We took classes with, for example, Bert and Dom and Charles Nelson Reilly and just a host of other people. And then after that was over, I stayed in South Florida for about 7 years and then moved up to Chicago for the weather.
Because right.
Nobody here on the radio can see me, but I'm a very pale Irishman and I don't belong anywhere the sun shines. It's my greatest feat was leaving South Florida as pale as when I left it, or when I got there. So I worked around in South Florida, and then I moved up here and have been just trying to pull together, you know, a career. And about 9 years ago, myself and 5 other friends decided to start a theater company because, you know, Chicago needed another tiny theater company. So
you never have too many.
No, not at all. So yeah. We started that Eclectic Full Contact Theater about 9 years ago, and we've been going strong ever since. And thanks to the pandemic, we decided since we can't do live theater, we switched over to audio drama.
How soon did you start that? I mean, when did you say, okay, we still want to get together and do stuff? So how quickly did you transition?
The lockdown happened in March. We had put out a call for writers to do serialized audio dramas for us in by mid-June.
Oh, wow.
We did one Zoom production, and that was a lot of work and a big learning curve, and I didn't want to have to deal with that much technical stuff. So we decided to do audio drama instead. I do audiobook narration as a side gig, so I kind of know how to about recording and processing audio. And we had started an audio drama podcast just for fun about a year prior, so we knew about how to do all that. So we were already trying to record the third season of that particular podcast called Throwing Shade when we locked down. So I figured, well, since we already know how to do this, let's get other people involved. And with everything that was going on at that time with the with the civil unrest and the George Floyd protests and everything, we decided that we were going to definitely try to reach into the community at large and try to get writers and directors and stories from underrepresented members of that community.
So tell us, I wanted to go back in this. What was your very first?
I want to go back to high school.
Well, me too. What was your?
I don't want to go. I don't ever want to go back to high school. Anyone who tells you those are the best years of your life are lying.
Well, for some people they are, but anyway,
well, yes.
What was the very first play you did?
The very first play I did was a lovely play called Game Show, which was a riotous comedy about the backstage shenanigans at a game show.
Okay.
And it was I had a lot of firsts in that. It was the first show I did. It was the first time anybody had ever spiked my drink on stage.
Oh boy.
Because it was high school and we thought that was funny. So it was a lot of fun. And so that's what kind of pushed me down this path.
Any musical work?
I lived in Florida for 7 years, and it's the only way you can survive down there is to do musicals. So I kind of learned to sing and dance out of sheer desperation. But I'm only a double threat. I can't sing and I can't dance. So don't ask me.
So my high school question is more, so was it, and I know high school, you get to do some backstage kind of stuff, but did you gravitate to that too, doing sets and all that other stuff, or just the acting?
In high school, we didn't do that. Our theater program was not funded. Our theater program was funded by ticket sales. We got reimbursed for our costumes. That's how little money was put into this theater. I didn't start doing backstage stuff until I got into the community theater, and then definitely when I went into the apprenticeship stuff, and that was amazing to me. I found it very, very interesting and so helpful, especially when I got into actually running a theater and doing some directing and everything. I'm like, I can actually talk to designers and know kind of what I'm talking about. So
in Florida, is that when all the juggling and balloon work and puppets happened, or was it prior?
Juggling and puppets happened there. I worked for a children's theater that had that was run by two ex-Ringling Brother clowns. So I learned a lot of that. I didn't learn how to do balloon animals till I got up here, and that was a side gig for a while until the pandemic. Because I can't walk around in restaurants and come up to people's tables and go, "You want a balloon animal now?" But you know, it's another weird thing to put on the resume.
So, do you think that after everything, or when everything opens up again, do you think you're still going to continue doing the radio or the?
Absolutely, yeah? Absolutely. One of the great things that we discovered about this in doing this is that we have pulled together an absolutely global group of people. We have writers on these shows from across this country, but we've also got a couple of writers that were in the UK. We've had actors take part in this all across the country, in the UK, and also as far away as there's one guy who lives just outside of Istanbul. And we never would have been able to do that if we were trying to do this locally. And so I love this because you get so many more perspectives. It becomes so much more grassroots, collaborative, and democratic, which is one of the major things that the theater community was started taking a really hard look at when we shut down, was the hierarchy of the of theater in and of itself, and how that kind of excludes people. And this was really more like, hey, let's get together and try to make something happen. And so it was a lot more egalitarian than some other stuff has been.
It's true. The balance of the pandemic is that we are truly now a global family, and mm-hmm. you know, there are no geographic barriers anymore.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, as frustrating as trying to figure out the technology has been at times, it's brought us together with so many more diverse people and voices and stories. And that's really what the whole point is. All of our projects, the half hour audio hour being the most eclectic, I guess. See, there, I put a pun.
There it is.
The most eclectic one, because it's an anthology. But all of them are there to, all four series and the anthology are there to highlight the work of women, BIPOC, and LGBTQ writers and directors. So that's what this is all about.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
So still, the Kickstarter is still going for funding for that, is that correct?
Yes, we're still trying to do that. I mean, absolutely. Till the 8th of that runs until the 8th of March, which is when our first series launches. What we're basically doing with that is we're looking to help with, you know, unexpected stuff turns up all the time. We had money in the bank to finance these projects, but unexpected stuff always turns up. There's basically myself and one other company member are doing all of the post-production on these projects. And that's a ton of work. These series go from 6 to 15 episodes, depending on which one they are. And we have to lay in all of those sound effects and everything that you heard in Death and Grandmother Chet. We're doing that. And so to get everything done, we have had to reach out to other people to do it. And so we want to make sure that we have enough money to cover that. And we got ourselves a really wonderful marketing team to help us learn better how to get the word out in a digital way, since we are all digital at this point. So we're just trying to make sure that those unexpected expenses have some money to cover them. And we're looking to raise about $2,000. We've got a donor who'll match everything up to $1,000. So if anybody wants to go to Kickstarter and check us out and give us some and donate, it's great. We've got some great rewards for you on Kickstarter, from being in some stuff to some merchandise to my personal eternal gratitude, which is priceless, really, when you get down to it.
So my question, real quick, is did you pick up your equity card? And then I want you to set up the clip that you sent us. I think it's called Death and Grandmother Choi. But quick, did you get your equity card?
No, I did not get. Smart move. Did not get my equity card. When I graduated from Brit, I had 40 points, and about a month later, I got a call from Equity going, "You need to get your card, or you need to drop all your points." I'm like, "I'm 24 years old, working in a right to work state. Goodbye."
Yeah.
And my theater company is based on the idea of just like treating everybody well and paying people the way they should be, or as much as we can, without having to be equity. So someday, maybe. We'll
sometimes
see.
I've advised young actors to stay in equity eligible status for as long as they can, because then they still have the chance. You know, once you get in, then it gets tougher to work in some of these non-equity spaces without permission. So,
it is tough. I have a feeling that's probably going to change too.
Yeah,
with everything that's been going on. But the clip that we've got is from the half hour audio hour. It's our second episode. And it's called Death and Grandmother Chet, and it's written by Nina Key. It's set in post-war Korea, and it draws very heavily from Korean folklore. And basically, it's Grandmother Chet is an elderly woman who's on a dark road going to visit her grandson, and she runs into a stranger who turns out to be a little more than what she expected.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to it. This is Death and Grandmother Choi, and who is this by?
Nina Key,
and this is on the Half Hour Audio Podcast. Let's take a listen to it right now.
Just a little longer now, my dearest boy. You can wait, can't you? Just a few more miles. Of course, you are such a good boy. We'll be together very soon. I'll make you a special stew and wrap you up with blankets. A boy needs his harmony to take care of him. Just wait a little longer, Ginny, and we'll be together. We'll be safe. Hello? Who's there? Hello? Hello? That's strange. I can hear you. Who's there? I have all of my documents if you need to see them. Come out, and I will show them to you. Oh, my goodness.
You should watch where you are going.
It's my grandson. He is sick, so I'm going to visit him.
I do hope it's nothing too serious.
Just a little fever. But you know how us old ones can worry.
Of course.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I do have a little bit longer to go, so I think I should be on my way.
You mean you don't recognize me? I suppose it has been a long time.
No, I don't recognize you. We've never met, have we? I'm just an old woman with a poor memory. I apologize, I don't remember your face.
Well, at least try. Go on. Yes, it's more fun that way.
Listen, if you need money, I can give
you... Oh, how pedestrian. Absolutely not. I'm not a soldier.
I've already talked to the people at the...
I'm not a government official either. Really? How disappointing.
Then who? Who are you and what do you want with me?
Perhaps without the disguise then. Through the ages, we have been referred to by many names.
Marzana.
But perhaps you best know me best as...
Sosong Saja.
Indeed.
You are here to cross me over. I am to die.
Ah, yes. Finally, you see me for who I am. You're the one who told the officials she was trying to escape?
No!
Are you sure?
You have no idea what you're talking about. When they took me in for questioning.
Go on.
It went on for hours. I was so tired. They have ways of making you tell them things.
Now tell me your secret, Grandmother Chip. How does one evade me for so long? How does someone live to such a ripe old age, especially in these times? How does one survive?
It is just one choice. One simple choice. Made after another. Made after another. And another. Goodness is for people who have good choices.
And that's very compelling. That was Death and Grandmother Choi. And you can hear that whole thing on the half-hour audio podcast. Where can they hear that at? What's the web link?
Well, they can. We're on all of our podcasts are going to be on are on all of the major podcast sites. I mean, most of the people listen on Apple, but we're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, YouTube. I mean, look for it. We're there. The name of the show is the Half Hour Audio Hour. That's the thing that you're going to be looking for. Our host site is Red Circle. So if you go to redcircle.com/shows/halfhouraudiohour and put dashes in between all of them, that'll take you directly to it. But you can check it out anywhere.
Very good. What do you have coming up beyond this episode? What's planned?
The next episode is going to upload the second Sunday. They upload the second Sunday of every month. So in March, we've got a wonderful show called Order for Vicky. by Keanu Kotoblu, which stars one of our company members, Kaylee Osterman, in it. And it's a very, very funny and awkward show about what happens when an ex shows up at your place of work. And it's disturbing, but it's very funny. And then starting in March, we start launching all of our serialized podcasts, which are, you can find out information about them at our website, which is eclectic-theater, spelled with an R-E, .com. You can find out information about all four of them. They're called Deep Shadows, Monocyte, Bloody Bay, and Cluster F Word, because I know we're on the radio and I can't say that.
Yes, that's true.
But they're all, they range from drama to comedy, from sci-fi to murder mystery. They're all very wonderfully written and brilliantly voiced by.
They are, and it really touches on a lot of them have dealing with mental health in some sort of way, which is
very
strong. So pre-pandemic, were you doing stand-up still? Was that still part of your?
I did stand-up for a very brief amount of time, and then realized that I'm just too lazy, so I like to sit down. No, basically the real reason that I stopped doing stand-up was just I realized that to do it well, you really have to make that your focus. And while it was fun to do, I was like, I got a theater company to run. And so I kind of went away from it. But I do love doing stand-up. It's fun.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. By the way, we never got to talk about your Elvis impersonator bit there, but we'll have to hit that some other time.
That's, you know, whatever you want me, I'll do it on the way out. It'll be great. I'll just say thank you.
Okay.
As Elvis. It'll be wonderful.
Well, that's Andrew J. Pond from the Half Hour Audio Podcast, and their upcoming one is Death and Grandmother Choi. Thanks for being on Art on the Air, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, our landlord, Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments, and Mary LeVan, Arts Patron. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.